consistency. Jesus answered the lawyer's question and said, well, you know the commandments. Love God with all your heart and love thy neighbor as yourself. And he said, on this, when they asked what's the greatest commandment, he said, on these two hang all the laws. In other words, you'll fulfill the law of God. If you love God with all your heart, you do the right thing. And Jesus made clear, which the Pharisees did not, you should love your neighbor as yourself. Now, you know, what does the word neighbor mean? What's the word neighbor? Go ahead, this is a little young boy. What? Very good. Someone who lives by your house. We get the word nigh. To be nigh someone means to be near them. To be near them. A neighbor, a neighbor, someone who's near you. It's easy to love people that are far away and don't bother us. It's easy to say the perfect church and the perfect pastor are over the hill in California, and oh, I wish I was there. But the one we are told to love by Jesus is the person near you. And very often our neighbors, they're not perfect. They have problems. But that's the one we're supposed to neighbor. That's what will please the Lord, especially those in the faith, our Christian neighbors. Now, the rabbis numbered. Do you know how many commandments they said there were? There's 10 commandments, but when you count all the other little commands, do you know how many commands there are in the Old Testament that the rabbis numbered? They said for a righteous person, you had to keep this many commands. How many commands do you think there were?
10?
Yeah, 10 commandments there were, but there were other commandments. 66, that's up.
100?
200? 200, see, we have 613. Wow. 613 were the number of commandments that the rabbi said were in the Old Testament. And of course, if you broke one law, you broke the law. You were a sinner. Now, again, the context of 1 Corinthians 13, as I turn the page, is what is best? What is the best gift? But I can just say, what is best? And the Lord told us, and Paul tells us here, the best thing you can do is to love the Lord and love the people of God. And now Paul tells us, you know, it's not enough to say I love you, but love has to act a certain way. Do you know that when I spoke a couple months ago at a church, a girl who hardly knows me, gave me this note. I kept it in my wallet. She was, how old, Marion, is she?
Eight.
I will never forget you. I will never stop loving you. That's pretty nice. How often do you get a note like this in your life? So I put it in my wallet. Now, we understand she hardly knows me. I don't know if she's talked to me, you know, if we put it all together, 20 minutes. So we don't hold her to this, by the way. She's a nice girl who writes nice notes, and that's nice. But the Lord wants us to show our love by doing various things, of course, loving him, but by loving one another. And then how do we love one another? Well, it says love, agape is the Greek word, or translated charity, but love suffers long. You notice that? It says love suffers long. And they don't always mean suffering in the strong sense that we use it. But Some people are bothered very quickly. I was at a market a while ago, and the guy in front of me, who I suspect was just out of prison or going, looked wild. Nothing bad. He had tattoos all over him, and that doesn't mean you're bad necessarily. You know, we're not saying that. You know, you can have tattoos and accept the Lord and be a wonderful person. But he had tattoos all over. He was yelling, kind of speaking loud. I was not 6 foot from him. And he turns to me and says, "What are you getting so close to me for? I don't like people who get close to me. Don't get close to me. It's not going to speed up the line. Don't get close to me." I'm 6 foot away. Good grief. I let it go. Because he looked like he was ready to pull a gun. He was a little crazy. But you see, he had what we call a short fuse. He's bothered easily. You don't want a loving person. In fact, I hear my our grandchildren, who's, what are they, 8 and 10 now? Now they were 7 and 9. One says, "You're not my friend anymore," to the other. "I'm not going to love you or speak to you for the rest of my life." What did she do? She bumped her leg. She touched her leg and she said, "I'm not going to speak to you for the rest of my life." That's kind of rough. Of course, they were friends again 2 minutes later. But love does not leave a person, neglect a person, stop loving just at every slight trouble. Or you know what, or hurt. Love suffers long. That is, love stays around despite problems. I'll write that. Stays around despite problems. A lot of these are overlapping. If every time somebody said something that hurt my feelings, if I crossed them off, I would have no friends. Do you know that? If you're hurt, every time somebody says something careless and hurts you, if you cross them off, you'll have no friends soon. But a friend understands that sometimes your friend can say something, not mean that much. Love suffers long. Love knows that the people you're with, even those who love you, may hurt your feelings sometime. It says the good manners, love is kind. The next thing it says, love is kind. Kind is a general word. Kindness is a general word, and it means to be gentle or gracious, to be nice. We like kind people. A kind person does nice things, doesn't do mean things to you, doesn't really play bad jokes on you, doesn't say mean things at you. A kind person is forgiving. Kind is just a big word for a nice person. We like kind people. It's nice to be around the kind people. Kind people give. They share. They say nice things to you. They say things that build you up. And Paul is telling us, the Apostle Paul, that if you love somebody, you're kind to them. You don't make fun of them. You know, words can hurt. A kind person doesn't say mean things. A kind person says nice things. A kind person, when he thinks of something bad, sometimes you bite your tongue. You don't say it. Now, before it says love suffers long, sometimes some people say unkind things to us. Then it says love is unselfish. Love is unselfish. Love envies not. What does it mean to envy?
Be mad.
Be mad, yes. What else does it mean to envy?
To
Be jealous?
To want something else that somebody has?
Yes, that wants something perfectly. It's easy to be jealous. And it can consume you. And it can make you very unhappy. The 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. Remember, Paul said, I keep the commandments. Paul said, I kept the commandments, but the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet, slew me. It's wanting somebody else has. Now, it can be wanting money. It can be wanting a toy someone else has. It can be wanting a compliment or fame that somebody else has. It can be wanting honor that somebody else has. And in a sense, it's not accepting what God gives us. And we have to be patient. Once at a Christmas, in sixth grade, they had what is called a Pollyanna. You're familiar with the Pollyanna? You pick everybody picks a name of somebody out of the hat, and you buy them a present. Well, when I was the age of some of the younger children here, we were told to spend 10 cents as a gift for Christmas in our class. And on the last day of school, they had all the little gifts here. And for 10 cents, you could buy today what you could buy for a dollar. And everybody picked somebody's name, but there was one giant gift that was this big. It was like 3 feet long, 1 foot wide, 1 foot high, among all those little 10-cent gifts. And I remember different people in my class said, oh, I hope I get it, I hope I get it, I hope I get it. You know what I said? I hope I don't get it. Because I was the only Jewish boy in school, and actually there was a time when people made fun of Jews. And persecuted them and started fights with them. And I didn't want to be singled out. And I actually prayed, Lord, I didn't know anything about Jesus. But let it not be me who gets that big gift. Because that's going to start a fight and everything else. And then as they took the names of the people and they unwrapped gifts, nobody called my name yet. And it came down to that last gift. And they lifted the name and it was my name. And it was like a horror to me. I was a little boy, but again, I was the only... I never went to school without a fight. People would always jump on the Jewish boy every day. Never fail, call you a dirty Jew, all that. Anyway, I got the big present. So, of course, as I'm walking out of class, I have a gang around me. Oh, I wish I had that present. Why are you pushing me? Why didn't you get the present? I thought, what a horror. I still remember the name of the girl who gave it to me. And she meant nicely, but it was a curse. But love is kind. Love is kind. Treats people nicely. The unselfishness of love. Love, okay, we said envieth not. We said is not jealous. Not jealous, all right. Love vaunteth not itself. What does it mean to vaunt not itself? Means to congratulate yourself, to brag about yourself, to make it like you're the only good person there is, you're the best person. That's how to be unpopular, to tell everybody, hey, I'm the best. Love doesn't do that. Love is kind to the others. And so love vaunteth not itself. Love is not puffed up. Do you ever eat the cereal Quaker or puffed wheat? Do you eat the cereal puffed wheat? They take a little grain of wheat and the machine puts a lot of air pressure and the wheat goes from little to puff, like popcorn. It puffs up. And with milk, it used to be my favorite cereal, puffed wheat. When I was little, I don't know if you remember, they used to call puffed wheat Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies. You remember that? Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies. Anyway, anybody here ever eat Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies? See, I was years before you. Well, love is not puffed up. In other words, Love is concern for the other person. Love isn't saying how great I am. I want to be great. I won first place. I'm the smartest person. I'm the biggest person. I'm the toughest person. I'm the most righteous person. Love says, how can I help you? How can we make things right with you? How can we see that you're forgiven? Love is concerned, how can we make a success? How can we help you to throw the ball better? How can we help you to catch the ball better? How can we help you to look better? How can we help you to feel better? In other words, love is concerned with helping the other person. And Jesus said, if you love him, this is the kind of person you will be. And you know what? It's wonderful to live around people like that. It makes a happy life, and that's what God wants us. So love is not puffed up, not self-concerned, all right? Not self-concerned. And you know, if you live to help others, you'll be very happy. If you only live to make yourself the best, not that you shouldn't try in sports and things, but if you only live concerning yourself, you get unhappy. Love does not behave itself unseemly. What does that mean? Love doesn't behave itself unseemly. Go ahead.
Polite,
yeah, that's good. Love is polite. That's good. That's a general expression for not doing the improper thing, the inappropriate thing. To behave unseemly means to do a wrong thing. Like somebody gets up to speak and you run up and hit him with a pillow and embarrass them. That'd be embarrassing. That'd be wrong. Somebody is supposed to read a Bible verse and you hide their Bible. Ha ha, we hid your Bible. Or we have to go to breakfast in the morning and you took his pants and tied knots in it. He said, ha ha. See, all those things are unkind, unseemly. For big people, it often involves saying things that are inappropriate. I'm going to talk to the older people here. I was called today by I won't tell the name, but a minister, my wife knows, who, he's not the preacher of the church, but every Sunday, after the preacher's done, he goes up to the preacher and tells him things that he disagrees on. Now, it's nice to be smart, and it's nice to be correct, but that's behaving itself unseemly at the wrong time. Love just doesn't do things that embarrass others, that hurt others, that pull down others. Love is kind. Next it says, seeketh not her own. Love is not just concerned with me, me, me. Love is concerned, are the people with me happy? Are they happy? Are they learning? Are they living for the Lord? How can I help them? The positiveness of love. Love is not easily provoked. Easily, you know, there are certain people, you say one thing to them and it hits them the wrong way. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Love is not easily provoked. If every time somebody said something to me that I took wrong or hurtful, again, I wouldn't have any friends. Because people sometimes talk and hurt you. And you have to, love is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Oh, by the way, I was assigned this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. Dr. Paul Smith, who is pastor for 29 years of the big church in Toronto, Canada, the People's Church, he said that's his favorite verse in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13, 7. This passage. He said that's his favorite verse, that's his life verse of the Bible. Love thinks no evil. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not sensible, but it means when somebody says something that can be constructed different ways, you give them the benefit of the doubt. You give them the benefit of the doubt. When they say they can do something or I'll stop my drinking, you say, oh, we'll pray for that end. You don't say, oh, you'll never stop, you bum. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity. You know what that's saying? Love is not happy when bad things happen to others. Ha ha, you fell down, serves you right, you cut your arm, you're bleeding, ha ha. This'll teach you a lesson, look at him. Let's give him a kick. That'll teach you. No, love is not happy. And by the way, our sinful natures often are. Our sinful natures are often delighted and amused when bad things happen to others. But Paul says, ideally, we should not, the right spirit is not happy when another person gets in trouble. The right spirit, love, is not happy when another person is scolded. I will say, I was at the table with our 7-year-old grandchild a week ago, and my son, who's an adult, spilled his iced tea over him. Reached over in this big, long, high cup. He was sitting right next to me. Spilled it. The iced tea goes over the table, all over him. And I started to laugh. And the little 8-year-old girl said to me, "That's not very nice." She said, "You shouldn't laugh at my daddy." And, you know, she was right. It was hard not to, but she was right. The right spirit is not, ha ha, look at that slob, spilled his drink. I didn't say that. But I laughed. And she said, "Everybody's name is on the nice list at this table, except Grandpa." And I wasn't on the nice list because I laughed. But see, may she act that way when she's older? But love does not laugh when somebody else is hurt or embarrassed. I'm not saying there's some minor things in life that you can laugh at. You know, but love does not rejoice in iniquity. We're not happy when bad things happen or somebody does something bad. We're said, rather, love rejoices in the truth. The endurance of love. Love bears all things. Now, that's a generalization that we take in context. It means love bears all kinds of things. I'm ready to eat. Somebody took the cupcake I was going to take. Shall I start a big thing in line? Hey, that's my cupcake. Put that down. No, it's okay. So they take the biggest cupcake. Love is not bothered by every little thing. Love is patient. Love believes all things. Now, in context, this means we're optimistic. So when somebody has a bad, when somebody says, "I'm sorry, I won't do that again," love says, "Wonderful, good. Maybe let's pray about it." Love doesn't say, "Oh, you said that before. You don't mean it. You don't mean it." No, love is optimistic. "I'm not going to tell a lie again. Oh, good. Praise the Lord. Let's pray that the Lord gives you strength that you don't tell a lie." Love doesn't say, "Oh, you always lie. You're going to lie tomorrow. I know you. You don't keep your word. You're no good." No. Love, it says love believes. Love has confidence. Love hopes all things. Love hopes that people who hurt us will stop hurting. You know the people that cursed me when I was a child? I pray for them today. My joy would be to see them in heaven. Love hopes all things. Hope you'll do the right thing. Hope you'll get promoted. And love endures. To endure is to stay when others leave. To stay when others leave. Love does not quit at a slight provocation. And Paul says, if you really love someone, you'll act like this. I'll tell you one more story, one verse and quit. But when I was in the Army, I was a young lieutenant. I had been a private for 6 years, but I became a lieutenant. And I loved our commander. The brigade commander was Colonel Lavelle. I loved our colonel in a sense of devotion. And he never talked to me much because he was a colonel at the time. I was a young lieutenant. But a projectile during a riot, something was shot at him or thrown at him. And I jumped, because I loved him, I jumped in front of him. And I was hit. It ended, though. It wasn't a hand grenade or a bullet. It was an egg. It was just an egg. Somebody threw, we didn't know what it was, but it was an egg. And I jumped in front of the colonel, and I was hit with a soft-boiled egg. So I had egg on my uniform. But the colonel said, it was really, the colonel said, the Lord's blessing. The colonel said later at the meeting, he says, Gary, he says, Lieutenant Cohen loved me. And he said, if that was a hand grenade, he would have given his life for me. And I was soon promoted to captain. And I never marched in another parade because he said, you don't march anymore, you ride in my Jeep. And I honestly became the colonel's Good Friday guy, and he came to every service after that. And I did have a major, though, that, if you've heard this story before, Major Cristinzio came up to me privately, and he said, you know, Lieutenant, you're no hero. You were only hit by an egg. You weren't blown up by a hand grenade to save somebody's life. You're no hero. And I said, yes, sir, I know that. He said, you're lucky that out of 104 officers in the brigade and 3,600 men, there's only one person who thinks you're the hero. That's the brigade commander. He says, but you're not a hero. It was just an egg. And I said, yes, sir. And he must have said that 10 times to me. He said, it was just an egg. I said, yes, sir. Then he started to walk out, and he turned around. He said, you know, it was just an egg. I said, yes, sir. And honestly, as he sat going out the door, he turns back and he says, you're no hero, it was just an egg. And I said, yes, sir. But I did get to ride in the colonel's Jeep. And I was promoted to captain. So the Lord knows. But let us show, one way that we show our love for the Lord is by being kind to one another. And may we obey this commandment with joy. And you know what? If you think about others and are kind to one another, your life will be happier. Your life will be happier. Because if you only count the little things that people hurt you or neglect you or don't appreciate you, you're going to get sad. Because in a sinful world, everybody isn't appreciated like they should. You can get hurt easily. But if you say, I'm going to spend my life showing my love for Jesus by showing my love to his sheep, you're going to have a happier life. It's going to be a more productive life, a more successful life. And it'll be the ideal Christian life. Well, even though they said I could go for hours, I'm quitting now. And God bless you, and you've been a wonderful, wonderful group.